7:46 at WGCL. Time for Joe Smith live on the telephone on a Monday morning. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
I am fine, Glass. How are we doing? Margaret,
good
morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, Margaret?
I'm wonderful.
That just makes me even better.
What is the Easter Bunny going to be? Are you on his good list? How does that work? Do you help him out? What do we do with the Easter Bunny?
Hopping around.
There you go.
I got a lot of grandkids all of a sudden to take care of here. You know, get the baskets ready here between now and Sunday.
That's right. That's exactly right. Just call Maria. She'll help you out.
She'll put all those.
She's my right-hand girl, boy.
She'll help you. She was filling eggs last night.
Was she?
She's getting ready. It's busy
week. She's teaching Michael MG3 the tricks?
Busy week. Not yet. MG3 is kind of drumming at his own beat.
He's still observing.
Just running around throwing things, mainly, is how that happens.
But Dad and Mom have to pick it up. And
No. He picks them up. He's learning. That's you make a mess, you pick up your mess. Smitty, I opined on this earlier this morning. We picked the right year to jump in on this radio coverage of the NCAA tournament. What an unbelievable weekend of basketball. It all started, it started Thursday. We talked about that on Friday.
Yeah.
And then Friday night it continued. Not as good as Thursday. That wasn't shocking. But having three of the four final eight games come down to essentially the last minute or two, to the last possession. You can't ask for anything better than that. The road to Indianapolis is paved with big-time programs, big-time coaches, and all four are set as the 2015 Final Four heads to Lucas Oil Stadium, and we'll have coverage for you starting this Saturday at 4:30.
Well, you know, we talked Friday about the possibility, anyway, of an all-Big Ten final for college basketball's national crown a week from tonight. Well, the possibility isn't all that far-fetched, thanks to Michigan State. Tom Izzo's Spartans punched their ticket to Lucas Oil Stadium this Saturday night alongside Duke after taking out Louisville in overtime to win Sunday's East Regional 76-70 in Syracuse. Brandon Dawson's key putback was a big basket, solid guard play, keyed by Travis Trice, a couple of seniors who refused to lose for the green and white, and that Izzo philosophy of winning not just a game but the weekend. Again, something we touched on Friday indeed came to fruition, didn't it? A seed that was planted years ago by Mike Krzyzewski, and how ironic is it? It'll be those two head-to-head in Saturday night's first semifinal as Coach K put his young Duke Blue Devils into their 12th Final Four under Coach K, a number reached only previously by the legendary John Wooden. Duke is the one seed in the South, allowed Gonzaga a four-point lead 4 minutes into the second half, but then controlled the pace of play and won it with a crew of young guns playing on the big stage for a first time, and it even gets bigger now, denying the Zags their first ever trip to the Final Four, winning in Houston on Sunday, and a trip to Indy now, where the Devils have won the last two national championships won by Coach K. You toss in Izzo's seventh trip to the Final Four, and it was like, it was all meant to be. And I don't know if it gets much better than this in Saturday night's other semifinal. 2-1 seeds, unbeaten Kentucky and Wisconsin, a rematch of last year's semifinal, won by UK by a point. UK surviving Notre Dame's upset bid last Saturday night, while Wisconsin looked unbelievably sound in the second half behind Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker, a near flawless second half, beating a good Arizona club who allowed the Badgers 55 points after intermission as the Badgers won the West region, giving Bo Ryan another opportunity to win his first national championship. So, two games left for four teams, and although it'll be early April, what a way to wrap up the March Madness for 2015. Our coverage of the Final Four begins this Saturday afternoon, starting with Westwood One's pregame at 4:30. By the way, Hoosier Hysteria wrapped up at Bankers Life Fieldhouse over the weekend, and congrats today out to Bar Reeve head coach Brian Hughes and his Vikings. They avenged a four-point overtime loss to Marquette Catholic a year ago, winning its first-ever Class A state championship decisively, 65-50. A four-time state runner-up no more, because now they bask as Class A's best with its first-ever well-earned championship. Park Tudor, Garrett Catholic, and Homestead also cut down the nets, ending the 105th Boys State High School Tournament in Indianapolis. In the zone, Dave and Glass, and your phone calls at 6 on this final day of March. I'm Joe Smith.
You are.
I am.
And those were great basketball games.
Yeah,
and,
they were.
You kind of felt bad for Arizona the same way you felt bad for Virginia because the matchup didn't work out last year and it didn't work out this year. And having to beat teams 2 years in a row in the tournament, I don't know what the committee's up to about that. I don't like that matchup. But anytime you give up 55.5, Joe, that's not good. Decker with career highs and back to, well, if you're going to have career highs, you might as well have him in the Sweet 16 and the final, right?
Yeah.
Kaminsky pitches in another 20, whatever, 29 he had or 27. So lucky Badger on the way. The Kentucky Notre Dame game Saturday night was incredible as well. Carl Anthony Towns just devoured Notre Dame inside, but it was, guess what it was? It was Kentucky shooting 25-foot jumpers that won that game. Oh, the Irish would like to have those last 2.5 minutes back.
Yeah,
wouldn't
they didn't score a point.
Well,
did they?
They didn't. Yeah, and it was the way they got after the angle there, you could tell who'd been around there and who hadn't.
Yep.
Kyle Wilcher's missed layup at 53-51.
That hurt.
Well, you can't miss those.
Not with a veteran doing it.
No, and that ties the game, and that puts a young Duke team in a whole different mindset. He misses that layup. Duke gets a rebound. There they go. Gonzaga's three baskets before that, Joe, were layups, and then their last layup came at 6:40. One, they didn't have any field goals in the last six minutes and 40 seconds.
I don't know.
You're not going to beat any good teams or any teams at this level.
I was really impressed with the first time I've really had a chance to watch Duke compete.
The competing part's not the big deal at all.
No, it's not. It's the
component.
Composure, though.
Yeah.
It's the composure of these young kids playing on a big stage and playing for a big prize and an opportunity to win a national championship. They played beyond their years and collectively.
Well, they,
you know, they get it done with balance. And
they got it done with defense because it wasn't shooting the basketball. It was 21-56.
Yep.
They gave Gonzaga every chance to get
did.
In that game. But guess what Gonzaga couldn't do? They couldn't make any shots. They only got to the foul line 9 times and were 2-10 from 3. And you leave the door open, good teams are going to find a way to do that. But the Michigan State, for me, is the team of the weekend, Joe.
We talked about it, didn't
a
we?
A team that didn't look great on paper, lost to Mike Davis as Texas Southern and at home earlier in the year. Why do people even worry about what he does in December and January? It doesn't even matter.
You know, I don't know.
It doesn't matter. And the whistle in that game, my goodness, you would have thought that having Matt Costello and Gavin Schilling foul out on two of the touchiest fouls when there was a street fight underneath the rim, Michigan State still finds a way to do it. And Louisville, not a very good shooting day. They're not going to give Blackshear the ball in the last 5 minutes of the game, huh?
Got
28 points, and they decide that they're going to let Terry Rozier, 6-23, keep shooting them, and Harrell keep shooting them. All right.
Yeah.
Rick's
been
there once or twice. He gets a pass on that for me. But half the Final Four is Big Ten, Joe. Oh, well, not bad for a bunch of, we don't play as exciting basketball as the Big 12.
We haven't had it in all Big Ten since Michigan, Indiana in 76.
Big Ten Final. Absolutely right. In 2000, Wisconsin and Michigan State were in the Final Four. Here in Indianapolis, that was the year that Team Cleves and the Flintstones won, but they did not play each other in the championship game. That was a little bit different there. But, yeah, it hadn't been a big title game. Who won the inaugural college football playoff?
The inaugural college football?
The Ohio State Buckeyes. And then you throw in a couple Big Ten Final Four teams. Maybe it's not as bad in the Big Ten as the national media tends to make it out. Well, that's what I heard all weekend.
I
got through it, and I'm tough. Let's do it again at 8:45.
We will.
We talk about some of those Big Ten, the Hoosiers. Tough weekend for the basketball team. Tough weekend for, across the board, really. You're going to find me some good news, though.
I'll try to sift out some.
All right, thanks, buddy.
All righty, we'll see you then.
All right, Smitty.
All righty, Glass.
Let's get it rolling here on a...
Good morning.
Hello, Margaret.
On a Monday morning.
It's sunny and nice out.
It's gorgeous.
Right now.
Yeah, there it is, baby.
Well, Joe, let's dive right in, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Busy weekend for the Hoosiers. Not a million good things to talk about, but some national championship diving taking place and a podium finish for one of our Cream and Crimson.
Well, I tell you what, freshman James Conner, the Aussie-born Hoosier All-American, certainly has raised the bar, closing out a solid season for Drew Johansson's Indiana Divers. Ray Luz's Swimmers wrapped up a 12th-place finish at the NCAA's out at Iowa City over the weekend, anchored by Watt Connor, was able to do this past weekend, finishing second off the platform, his third top four in as many events. Connor, the only diver at the meet to make the championship final on all three boards, and the first Hoosier to accomplish that feat since Mark Lindsay did it 25 years ago. His 5.14.8 on the platform, again second place, only to his own school record points-wise that he set while winning Big Ten Diver of the Year honors earlier in the month, capping off just a brilliant season, year number one for Australian-born James Connor. Well, diamond play fell short on both the baseball and softball fronts, both teams suffering weekend sweeps, as Chris Lemonis' Hoosiers lost 10-6 Sunday out in Iowa City to the Hawkeyes, suffering its first series loss in nearly 2 years. The Hoosiers slipping to 1-4 in the Big Ten after a road game at Kentucky Tuesday. The Hoosiers open the home Big Ten season this Friday against the Michigan Wolverines. That'll be a 6:05 start out at the BART. Michelle Gardner's softball Hoosiers lost 22-12 at Illinois Sunday, dropping to 1-5 in the Big Ten. Hoosier pitching went amiss, unable to hold not one but two early six-run leads in the series finale yesterday. Meanwhile, Lynn Loring's tennis Hoosiers, they were swept this past weekend, losing at Penn State, and Sunday beaten 6-1 at league-unbeaten Ohio State. Meanwhile, Coach Jeremy Wertzman's fellows, they fell 4-0 at Minnesota Sunday after recording its first Big Ten win when they beat Wisconsin in Madison 5-2. Sophomore Matthew McCoy, the former North Cougar, clinching that with a straight setter at five singles. The Gopher loss yesterday left the IU tennis men 1-3 here early in the season. Nikhel McClinton set a new school record in the women's hammer throw, a new standard now on the books at 195.9. Competing, she was in the Big Ten Pac-12 Challenge out in Tempe, Arizona. Front row of the 65th men's Little Five coming up April 25th, pole sitter Wright Cycling. They win the pole. Sigma Pi Epsilon and Evan Scholars complete the front row. Meanwhile, independent Melanzana won the pole for the women's race on the 24th. The women's race front row will include the Gamma Phi Betas along with Kappa Alpha Theta. They complete the front row for the women in qualifying held over the weekend out at Armstrong Stadium. Well, looking ahead tomorrow night, Sports Talk, two-time state champion Indiana bound Ian Finnerty and his coach Phil Cole will drop in, and All-American wrestler Taylor Walsh as well, as we wrap up March tomorrow night at 6, Sports Talk at Yogi's, and wrapping up this final Monday of March in the Zone, Dave and Glass, and your calls tonight at 6 o'clock.
And a big weekend coming up as well, Joe, on the college level with the Final Four coming to Indianapolis.
No,
we'll have coverage beginning 4:30 Saturday afternoon as Michigan State and Duke will get us started on Saturday night just after 6 o'clock, followed by Kentucky and Wisconsin. Michigan State beating Louisville 76-70 in overtime last night in yesterday afternoon in Syracuse, and Duke doing the business over Gonzaga, a 1-2 regional final there
right
in Houston yesterday afternoon. So 12th Final Four for Coach K, 7th Final Four for Coach Izzo, back-to-back for Calipari. That's 4 in 5 years, don't forget that.
Yep.
And back-to-back for Bo Ryan. So you want action, we got action. You want regional interest, we got regional interest. You want blue blood, yeah, just keep going, Joe.
Yeah.
You want an impossible ticket to get? We got that too.
Oh, yeah.
And you want a hotel room?
We'll
see you in St. Louis.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the city of Indianapolis. Couldn't be happier with those groups coming forward. Again, no Michigan. Sparty Spartan hasn't been there since 2010, so their fan base should be a little revved up for all that. And, Joe, can you believe it? A week from Wednesday, we put baseball on the airwaves.
Well, no question about it. The Reds open up the season on Monday, a week from today, against Pittsburgh, and we'll have the first of 115 broadcasts coming up on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock from the Great American Ballpark as the Reds host the Pirates, getting 2015 revved up and rolling for the Reds, hopefully.
And the good news is, as we've seen with weather projections, the months of April, May, and June in our part of the world are above average temperatures, so that should hopefully help them with their crowds and help with the baseball. Nobody likes the bees in their hands, Joe, if you're playing or just drinking. You don't drink many cold beers when it's cold in the stands.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow night at Yogi's.
Hey.
Great lineup there with Ian Finnerty and Taylor Walsh. I think the funny part is explaining why Taylor wasn't there last week, and that'll be the crux of the show. Go ahead and give him a sneak peek.
Well, it was an academic commitment.
He was
involved in a big-time test in biology, and he came in afterwards and apologized. Hey, I said, what comes first? I said,
Right.
Hey, we'll catch you next week. Talk about your outstanding Matt career for Dwayne Goldman. What a great kid out of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Looking forward to having conversation with him tomorrow night. School comes first.
That's exactly right, Joe. Scholar athletes. And that's,
you got it.
That's
and
that's
he is one of those.
Great job as always, buddy.
All
righty,
my friend.